It's really good to gather and worship our God together, isn't it? It just truly is. We come together to exalt the Lord, and he encourages us. Did you come today to just worship the Lord, just to exalt him, and then come in here, and then the Lord just really encourage you today with the life of the body of Christ? Same thing from his word. We come to listen to your word, Lord, to study your word, to hear your word, apply it to our life, but in the midst of it all, he's going to encourage us today tremendously. Let me ask you to open your Bibles up to Psalm 107. All right, where did I stick my outline? Psalm 107, turn your Bibles there with me. I stuck it somewhere, I don't know. I'm all right, though. Psalm 107, go ahead and take out your outline. Helps you follow along. We're going to move along that from the bulletin. We're going to look at this psalm for a couple of weeks. So this is part one. Next week, we will finish up with part two. Then on September 27th, here's Pastor Tom. He's helping minister at another church today, giving the word of God. But on September 27th, he's going to bring the message that day. And then on October 4th, I will return to our study of the book of Romans. I'm looking forward to that. I've been reading a lot on that. It's going to get in the back and all of that. So I'm sure you're looking forward to this psalm. Psalm 107 is about the God of redemption. That's what it's about. That's the big picture, the main focus. He is a redeeming God, isn't he? God is a redeeming God, a God that redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, as Psalm 103:4 says. God is a God of rescue, of deliverance from sin slavery, from being held in sin's bondage. Romans 6, the Bible is often called the book of redemption. It is. It's about redemption. It's God's word about God redeeming his people back into relationship with him. That's salvation, reconciliation. But it's also about him redeeming and rescuing you from sin's dominance over your life. Those are two tremendous truths of the gospel, two tremendous truths of salvation, two tremendous truths of redemption. Psalm 107, the apostle, or not the apostle Paul, but the psalmist begins in verses 1 through 3 about our response to redemption. I want you to look at that with me, verses 1 through 3. You have your Bibles open in the Word of God this morning? Got the Bible open? We're looking at the Word of God, reading it, listening to it, letting God speak to our heart. This is how God works in the body of Christ. This is part of, like Samantha said today, the prayer. You learn how to pray. You learn how to have a relationship with God. You learn how to have a relationship with God, getting into his word. How does he speak to your life? He brings back to remembrance the word of God that you have learned, that you've understood in the midst of the things that you got going on in life, and God's word speaks to your life. This is how God works in his relationship with us. So as we look at here in 107, here we are in his word, and this is our response of redemption. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." Tremendous passage here. Here's our response. We're to be grateful. You're to be grateful. You're to be thankful. We're to be giving thanks. Doesn't say anything about that life is going good, that this is going right, the harvest is coming in good, the job is great, the kids are wonderful and healthy. It doesn't say anything about that. It's talking about redemption, that you are redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're redeemed by God. That alone, we're to be grateful, thankful. It doesn't say that you do it once. You do it all the time. It's a daily life. Gratitude, thankfulness is to be constant in our life, even in the midst of everything we got going. And God wants that for us. He wants you to gratitude in your heart, because you live in a life that it's not always the temporal life's going to bring you gratitude. It's in him and him alone you have gratefulness, gratitude, those kind of things. Yes, we're thankful for the things we have. Yes, we're thankful for the sanctuary. Yes, we're thankful for being able to do missionary work. All of that, Lord, but here in the midst of it all, he's focusing in on your redemption. It is God and God alone who is gathering his people to himself. Do you know that? It's God and God alone. This isn't our idea. This isn't an American idea. This isn't the world's idea. God is redeeming, rescuing, freeing from sin's mastery, delivering you, leading you from the adversary, the distress, the foe of sin. God's doing that. You got to remember, that's what God's doing. He did it to you. In your redemption, to bring you back to himself, to stop sin's dominance in your life, God did that. Gratitude, thankfulness. It's in everything in your life, everything in your day. That this is so encouraging. So it's like, okay, thank you, Lord, for this. Those redeemed, those experience redemption, are to be filled with gratitude each day. They're to be thankful toward God. They're to be thankful toward life for God's redemption. That's to be us always. The source of our gratitude is redemption. We're redeemed. You should walk around whistling, "I'm redeemed." Let the redeemed say so, right? Well, what, we say so when we're in church service? Well, say so when you're at work. Wait a minute, Lord. I'm going to say so. I'm redeemed. This is the Lord helping us in this life. And he says some things in here that are very powerful. We're going to kind of get to them a little bit here and dig into them. But I got part two here, so I can say a lot more next week also. But he said, let the redeemed say so. The God is good. For his loving kindness is forever. Isn't that what he said? That God is good and his loving kindness is everlasting. It's forever. It's never fading. For God is good and does good, Scripture says. Good here in our text is in relationship to redemption. He's good in a whole lot of other ways. But it's redemption here. Good. He is good and does good. He redeems. James 1:27 says this, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Redemption is a good thing as a gift of God. That's what it is. He gave it. He gave it to you before you gave anything, Romans 11:35 says. For God is the giver of life, new life, eternal life, which is all wrapped up in redemption. He gives it. Being redeemed is God's loving kindness towards you. That's what it says. The Hebrew word here for loving kindness here, get this, involves or emphasizes three characters of God. So when it says that, his loving kindness is everlasting. We need to say so. Those that are redeemed. His character three ways. His love, his kindness, his mercy. Listen to this. It is God's love toward you in redemption. We know that. Romans 5:8. We know that. God demonstrated his love towards you and that while you were yet sinner, Christ died for you. Redemption is also God's kindness to you. So it's God's love directed to you, redemption, redeemed, being delivered from sin slavery, to be reconciled back to God. It's God's love toward you, it's his kindness. Listen to Romans 2:4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing the kindness of God leads you to repentance? It is God's kindness that led you to turn from serving self to serve the true and living God. It is God's kindness that led you to repent of your sin and embrace Christ. It's the kindness of God that does that. Redemption is God's mercy given you. Romans 12:1 is where the Apostle Paul concluded all the great doctrines of salvation. I'll review that again, but we'll look at that. And then he says this, therefore, by the mercies of God. Do you know the doctrines of salvation are all the mercies of God? To God to give us what we did not deserve. What we didn't deserve, or what we did deserve. If he gave us what we deserve, we all deserve hell, right? Anybody disagree with that? The Word of God says that's what we all deserve, but God didn't give that. He gave redemption, he gave salvation, he gave forgiveness, he gave all those things. It's the loving kindness of God, and a loving and kind and merciful God to redeem us back to himself. That's the truth of your salvation. That's the truth of God's Word. Paul went on to say, so I urge you to present yourselves a holy and living sacrifice to God. So salvation, redemption is a mercy of God towards you. Ephesians 2:4-5 says it this way. We're familiar with this, but in this context, listen to it. God being rich in mercy because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. Redeemed. Love, mercy, kindness. It's a small look at that word. It's an everlasting, never fading thing. We're to give thanks, be grateful for the redeeming, loving kindness, to love you, to lead you to repentance, to give you mercy. We're also to give thanks. Let me give you one more thing that's in our text. We're also to be grateful for the wonders, his wonderful works towards us. Look at verse 8 in your text. He says this in verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31, as he concludes each picture of redemption. He says this, let me just read it once. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness. Now, we kind of got that, for his wonders to the sons of men. What are the wonders? They're in relationship with his redemption. What are the wonders of God? This is what he's talking about, the wonderful acts. This is what he's talking about. Psalm 128:23 says, this redemption, this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. That's a wonderful act of God to redeem. It is by God's creative divine power, just like your human creation and birth. Like David said in Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. That's God's wonder. My soul knows it very well. My soul knows it very well that God created me and that God redeemed me. How about you? You know that in your soul? It's God who created you. It's God who redeemed you. My soul knows it very well. It's by the divine power of God. I don't have the power to do that. Either do you. It's beyond us. It's beyond us. This is not something we do. This is what the psalmist was referring to, and for us recognizing and looking at and helping us with our heart of gratitude and lifting our hearts and minds up. This is outside of us, beyond us. Rescue, deliverance from sin's dominance, from sin's enslavement, is by the wonderful act of divine power of God, is it not? So we're just kind of grabbing the surface here of what the psalmist is saying. So it's his redemption, right? Psalm 119 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. We sang that today. Our Lord, my rock, my redeemer. He's the redeemer. Psalm 34:22 says this, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Scripture says, God has redeemed my soul from the power of hell, for he will receive me. Psalm 49:15. Christ redeemed you, redeemed me from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13. Titus 2:14 says, Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Psalm 103, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul. For the Lord redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with loving kindness, right? With kindness, with love, with mercy and compassion, we're to give thanks for his redemption. Should just lift our hearts for a day like today. It's like in the midst of everything you got going on, you're redeemed. You've received the love of God. You've received the mercy of God. You've received the kindness of God, and God chose to do it all on his own. It wasn't based upon who you are. It's based upon him, and he decided and wanted to do that, and he's redeeming. He's calling back to himself, and we're part of that, and we live in this world, and all the promises of it lifts our heart today, doesn't it? Just encourages you. Young people, you got high school coming and not knowing what's going on, and you got college coming, and you got all those kind of things and trying to figure out, you know, who that guy is or who that gal is, what I'm going to do in life, all that, right? You have the redemption of the Lord. You're in his. You're redeemed. He has freed you from the slavery of sin. If sin's dominance, it doesn't have to lead your life. Mine either. All right, us old people or middle-aged people or whatever that may be. So we should be really encouraged today. And I'm going to take a minute here and ask you a question. I want to ask you a question because this really impacts our life, doesn't it? When we just talk about it, when we briefly looked at what redemption is and what it is, and we just briefly mentioned it, and it impacts our souls, our minds, our hearts. When we know the truth of it, it surely does. If you capture what the Word of God says, your heart's full of gratitude. Let me ask you a question. I'll give you a minute or two to answer here, okay? You can holler it out to me or tell me how being redeemed affects your daily life. Let me say it again. Tell me how being redeemed affects your daily life. The redeemed of the Lord say so. How does it affect your life? All the truth of being redeemed. Anybody got something on their heart? Say it again, Harold.
Gives me joy.
Gives you joy, absolutely, right? Affects my day with joy. I'm redeemed. I'm the redeemed of the Lord, God. And it's not because I'm special, right, Harold? Or you. It's because God is the one calling him to himself, and his redemption is happening here, and we've been brought back, and we've been set free, delivered, rescued from sin slavery. Wow. How does it affect your life daily? You want to share it. That's a great thing, right? And let me tell you about the truth of Christ. Let me tell you how he changes your life. Let me tell you how he encourages you, how I couldn't do the things that I do now. The only reason I even love you, the way God would ask us to love you, is because God has redeemed me and given me a new heart, new spirit within me. And, you know, and it's not that I was a good guy. I'm just God's guy, and God makes me do, you know, guides and leads me to do righteous things on his behalf. Let me tell you about that Lord that saves you that way. Yeah, absolutely. How does it impact your life?
He delivers me from myself.
Oh, thank you, Lord. That's the biggest rescue, right, for me. He rescued me from me, right? That's what it means to be enslaved to sin. I was, you were. He rescued me from that. Now I am enslaved to righteousness, Romans, right? Right? It's the Lord whom I serve, great one. How about you guys over here? How's it impact you daily? Helps with focus, right? Right? Psalm 16, I set the Lord before me. He's constantly in my vision. My heart is secure, right? He leads me, all the things that are in there. It helps so much because my focus is where? Where's it at? Yeah, where's it if it's not there? Yeah, we're just looking at everything here. And not that we don't have to see things here, but this isn't the whole ball of wax, is it? So it helps our focus on what we're looking at. How does it impact your life each day? Anybody else? All right. Holiness, the highway of holiness. Yep, I'm going to read a verse on that. That's really good. It does that. In fact, you don't know how to fly. He's flying the plane. Just get in, okay? That's how that goes, right? But he does. How does it impact your life? Purpose, right? Reason to be alive, right? That's the biggest thing that hit me when I came to salvation. I was talking to a brother in the church. He gave, we're baseball people, so it was an illustration. And so before I came to the Lord, what I was doing, I was playing baseball in the parking lot of the baseball, of the stadium. And then when I came to the Lord, all of a sudden it was like, wow, I'm actually in the game. There actually is a real game going on. I was in the parking lot faking it. Real purpose, right? Impacts us every day, doesn't it? Let me give you something real quickly here, and we'll look at it deeper as we go along here. And thank you for sharing, but with the time that we have left, I want to begin to look at these pictures of God's redemption in our text. Look at them with me. Verse 4 through 9 is a picture of redemption from wandering. Verse 10 through 16 is a picture of redemption for the rebellious. Redemption for the wanderer. Redemption for the rebellious, 17 through 23 is redemption for those suffering in sin, and 24 through 32 is redemption for the worldly. Now, here's how I want you to see this. These are all true about redemption for the people that are lost and they're wandering, the people that are lost and in rebellion and that kind of thing. But these are written to God's people, so they apply to us in our Christianity. Listen to me. Sometimes you're rebellious. Sometimes you're a wanderer. Sometimes you're suffering in sin. Sometimes you're worldly. Anybody want to give me amen there?
Amen.
So am I. The God of redemption wants to redeem it. That's what the Lord is saying us in his word. The God that redeems wants to redeem it. He wants to redeem you from those things in your life that harm you, hurt you, that aren't the way of God for you. He wants to rescue you, deliver you. Even though you're his, he still wants to work in these areas of life because he's the God of redemption. It's going to apply to all of that. First picture, look at it with me. Redemption for the wanderer. Take a look at verse 4 and 5. He says this, they wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul faded within them. God wants to redeem your wandering. My wandering, God desires to rescue from wandering. You wander in the wilderness, in the desert region, not finding a way to an inhabited city, not finding God's habitation for you. That's what it's talking about. The life God wants for you, desires for you to dwell in his best for you. You hunger and thirst, your soul is fainted, it says. Psalm 77:4 says your spirit grows faint. Psalm 61:3 says your heart grows faint. You find no food spiritually that sustains you. You find no water of life spiritually that helps you. This happens to believers, doesn't it? We wander. And we're wandering out there. There's many reasons why we wander, many things that are out there, but we do that. And we're not finding anything that's a water of life, anything. We're being tricked by other things that might be, but we're not finding it. Some ways this happens to all of us. You wander away. As the country song says, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. You're looking to satisfy the hunger and thirst of your flesh, which will never be satisfied. And in that, God uses that to show you that it's him and him alone where all of this is going to be satisfied. That's sanctification taking place. So sometimes wandering is actually in the time that God is maturing and growing you in your life. trying to find the things that you think you need, their hunger for, thirst for, and they're not in the things of the world, they're on Him and Him alone. And you wander, you don't find the life God has for you. It's an empty city. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:10, he said, "For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." That's the idea here. That's the idea that he's talking about here. That's what the Word of God is. Something became more important to you than God and God's way, and you wandered. Isaiah 35:8 says it this way, "A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander onto it." Your wandering is not looking for the highway of holiness, it's looking for something else. And you won't wander to God's highway. You won't wander to God's holiness. You have to come to Him and Him alone and say, "We're going to get to it. And the Lord, here I am. Help me." Proverbs 7:21 says, "The world's many persuasions entice you. Their flattering lips seduce you." Your wandering from God is the enemy of you, enticing you, the world, the devil, and the flesh, enticing, seducing you to look for something that isn't where God wants you to find it. It's called wandering, and He redeems. Thank you, Lord, you redeem, right? Praise the Lord that you redeem. He's at work, He's in the midst, He's doing the things He's doing. Proverbs 21:16 says, "A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead." But look at verse 6 and 7 in our text. Look at it with me. I keep looking up there saying, "I got another 10 minutes. That could go on for a while." Look at verse 6 and 7. "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distress. He led them also by the straight way to go into the inhabited city. Psalm 5, 8, and 9 says, "O Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my foes. Make your way straight before me. There is nothing reliable in what they say, they being the world, the devil, and my flesh. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. My flesh, your flesh, do that to yourself all the time." Cry out to the Lord, the psalmist says. Tell Him about your trouble. He delivers you. He redeems you right out of your distress and wandering. He leads you to the straight way, to go to the inhabited city, the city of God, if you will, where life is. It's a picture of redemption, isn't it? Has God done this in your life? As in mine, somehow something in the world, somehow something going on, sometimes, you know, and I didn't keep my eyes on Jesus. I didn't fix my eyes on Him. I kept looking at other things, not looking at things above. The things, world happens, right? Life happens. Not that I wanted to go there, not that that's what I would, well, you know what? My flesh wanted to go there. Let me own up to that one. But then you see that you're not finding, it's an inhabited city, this thing. It's never going to satisfy any hunger or thirst that you have that God has given you. It's going to, if you're seeking to self-gratify, earthly gratify, those kind of things, wander away. I'm not in God's word. Wander away. I'm not in a relationship with God. Wander away. I'm not in church. I'm not in a relationship with people in church. That's the wandering, what it's from. Let me just help you with that. God is word in the body of Christ, the church. And you wander away from it. My relationship with God isn't the thing. A relationship with His word isn't the thing. A relationship with the church is the thing. And if you wander away from any of them, you wandered away from God. Pretty much, period. I don't need to go through the scriptures and show you all of that. We've been called to and reconciled to relationship with God, placed in the body of Christ, given gifts to serve in the body of Christ. God, this is God's place and what He has for you. And you wander from that looking for something else that isn't there. It's amazing how sometimes the smoke of life is so dense that you need help in seeing the simple truth that confession, repentance, unto rescue is right before us. It's always there. It's never left. It's always there. And it's available to you because God is the one that redeems. Look at verse 8. "Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men." Give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness, for His never failing love toward you, His kindness to lead you to repentance, His mercy to give you what you do not deserve. Because you wandered. Give thanks to the Lord for His wonders to the sons of men. which is wonderful act toward you, is to do what you could not do alone by divine creative power to rescue you from your wandering. Thank you, Lord. That should just shake your socks off today. The wonderful acts of God and just your repentance and confession, and it isn't perfect and it isn't clear and it isn't everything that it is, but it is honest before the Lord to say, wow, Lord, I agree with you. I don't want that in my life. Help me. And then give thanks for his loving kindness and his wonderful act. Look at verse 9. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul and the hungry soul he has filled with the good. That's what he desires to do in the redemption. It's what he did in your salvation redemption. It's what he does in your relational redemption. To rescue and deliver you from sin's dominion, to satisfy and feed your soul with what is good, to be filled in the soul. Can I ask the praise team to come up? We're going to go a couple minutes long here. Not too long, but this song we need to sing to the Lord on my heart. Up here battling my thoughts like, okay, do we sing? Yeah, we're going to sing the song to the Lord. But let me ask you, are you encouraged today? Because maybe you're not wandering now, but there might be something that happens in your life and you recognize that you are, and you can go back to Psalm 107 and read it and say, look, it said right in here, this is what I was looking to satisfy my thirst and my hunger and something else, and it's not there, and God wants to help me, and it just said, just cry out to the Lord. And then he brings you to the place in your life. He's called redemption. It's called deliverance from sin's dominance. He's still at work in my life. How about yours? This is how he works. This is what he does. And before we sing, let me just share one more verse with you. Exodus 15:13. This is a tremendous truth, tremendous verse. It says this. Lord, in your loving kindness, you have led the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you have guided them to your holy habitation. That's him, his word, his church family. And a strong relationship with all three, the holy habitation. That is true and happening in our lives, is it not? Let's stand and sing to the Lord, and then we'll have a closing prayer.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song, sung by faith. A fetter bind my wandering heart.
Father, we just thank you that we could gather and worship you and lift up our voice and pray and share and be a part of the body of Christ. And Lord, our desire is that this redemption that we have, that you do in our life, would impact each and every part of our life. For your glory always, Lord, but your word says, and it's for our good. So that's our desire today and each and every day. And we thank you for this worship service. Pray for the sharing afterward, that you would be honored. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.